Fantastic.
That was your idea.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we know if Dan's joining us?
I don't know.
Looking at the audience, probably not. That's soccer. Basketball.
Well, let's start. We'll start because we have a proclamation for Black History Month. Let's start on that.
Okay.
Council will please come to order. Carla, would you please call the roll? Please.
Fritz. Here.
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard.
Here.
Adams.
Mayor Adams will not be joining us this morning until 10:30, and so as the president of the council, I will be presiding. Before we get to our regular agenda this morning, we have a proclamation, and it is my honor to read it. Would Delphine Kennedy Walker, Larry Nelson, and Art Alexander please come forward? Welcome, everybody. And the mayor has asked me to read this proclamation declaring February as Black History Month. Whereas the month of February is officially celebrated in Portland as Black History Month, and whereas in 1976, Black History Month was formally adopted to honor and affirm the importance of Black history in American history, dating back centuries, and whereas even in the face of slavery and legalized discrimination, African Americans have continually contributed to the nation's and this region's development, and whereas Portland's earliest permanently residing African American community dates back to the beginning of the Transcontinental Railroad, and many African American workers made Portland their home in order to have access to Union Station and the jobs on the railroad, and whereas during World War II, about 18,000 African Americans were recruited nationwide to work at the Portland and Vancouver shipyards, living in the community once known as Vanport City and Guild Lake, which at the time were the largest settlements of African Americans in Portland and the state of Oregon. And whereas Portland's African American community has produced scientists, educators, musicians, writers, faith leaders, business owners, artists, athletes, laborers, judges, and scholars, all for the betterment of the entire city. And whereas all Portlanders are asked during Black History Month and beyond to embrace and celebrate the rich histories of this city and dedicate themselves, their families, their neighbors, and community to the pursuit of the freedom, justice, and equality all Americans deserve. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, City of Roses, do hereby proclaim February 2012 to be Black History Month in Portland, and to encourage all residents to observe this month. Congratulations. Welcome to our distinguished guests. Who would like to lead off?
I would, if that's all right. Good morning. My name is Delphine Kennedy Walker, and I'm a legal assistant in the city attorney's office, where I'm a member of the diversity committee. I am also a member of the executive committee of DEEP, the Diverse and Empowered Employees of Portland. For the past several years, I have had the pleasure of participating on the Black History Month Planning Committee. First and foremost, I would like to express my gratitude to the mayor and to you, commissioners. I am proud and humbly honored for the opportunity to come before you today. I am excited about the events and activities occurring in the city during this month. Some of the most notable highlights of the various activities include today's kickoff with an outstanding noontime musical presentation by Thera Memory. Also, national speaker Damali Io on February 8th, great events planned for our Youth Day on February 16th, and our wonderful Taste of Soul and Vendor Marketplace on February 24th. Additionally, a variety of excellent films will be shown in various locations of the city during the course of the month. All of these events are open to the public. All of the events, except for the Taste of Soul and Vendor Marketplace, are free to the public. This could not have come about during these stressful economic times, but for the gracious generosity of you, of the various city bureaus and entities and the generous support of other institutions located in the city of Portland. As an employee, I am encouraged by and proud of the support given by the city to the African American community during Black History Month, particularly the positive influences shown to our youth that will have a lasting effect not only on their futures, but on their psyches as well. I hope that the City of Portland will continue to extend its support to the African American community as it has in the past, and that it will go even further in the future to provide such support to City of Portland employees and all members of the Portland community. Thank you collectively and individually for setting a fine example over the years for the bureaus under your leadership in extending support to all of the various communities in the City of Portland. Particularly and most importantly on this day, thank you for your support of the African American community in its celebration of Black History Month. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Delphine, can you just tell me where is the event at noon today?
It will be here in, it will be in the Portland building.
Thank
in
you.
The auditorium.
And everybody's yes. welcome.
On the second floor.
He's welcome.
On the second,
thank you. Second floor auditorium.
I think Delphine has said pretty much everything. The only two things, a couple things I'd like to add. One, in the list of contributions that have been made to the community that were part of the proclamation, I'd really like to add and emphasize homemakers. They're not often listed as, you know, like judges, lawyers, et cetera, but all the women who worked as homemakers, I think, made a tremendous contribution to our presence in this community and to the community in general. And they're generally not acknowledged. So I wanted to point that out.
Thank you, Art. Harry? Larry?
Yeah, and I just wanted to add that we're doing a film series about the Africans who did not wind up in the United States. I think oftentimes it's called Blacks in Latin America, and oftentimes the perspective on issues of race in this hemisphere are kind of myopic or kind of focused just on the United States. And we need to remember that of the millions of people who were enslaved and brought over to this hemisphere, the majority of them did not come to the United States. And I think it's helpful for folks to get some perspective on the African diaspora and the rest of this hemisphere. So the film series looks at Africans in Cuba, in Haiti, in the Dominican Republic, in Mexico, Peru, and in Brazil. So we hope folks have make some time to stop in and view the films, which will be shown in the Portland building and at a couple of the other city sites around the city. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Art and Delphine pretty much covered basically all I was going to say. I would just like to thank the Fire Bureau in particular for donating their kitchen for us to prepare the food for the Taste of Soul event, which will be coming up February 24th. I would also like to add that this event is self-sufficient. The nominal fees that we do charge for the lunches do pay for the event, and we are moving to make the entire Black History Month celebration self-sufficient in the future. So I just want you guys to know that up front, and I'd like to thank you in advance for your support this year and next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's acknowledge any of my colleagues who may wish to say that. If I might just conclude by saying the other day I had the honor of going to the Oregon Historical Society for a tribute that was planned for Mark Hatfield, and they had people from different walks of life, people who had interacted with the senator over time. And I thought the most powerful part of the evening was when I believe it was the daughter of Otto Rutherford got up and told the story of I guess it was either legislator or governor Hatfield and the public accommodations bill from the late 1950s, and told the story of how Paul Robeson had come in for a concert and could not stay in Salem because no hotel would accept an African American lodger for the evening. So they had to drive back to Portland with Paul Robeson, who was among the most famous artists in the world. And the Rutherfords, I believe Otto Rutherford at the time was the head of the NAACP and was very active, and it was a very powerful testimony to the progress we're making in this state, and I was delighted to learn more about the Rutherfords at that event. So thank you all very much. I have a proclamation to give you. On behalf of the mayor. Thanks for joining us. Okay, we'll now move to council communications. Carla, would you please read item number 98?
Request of Michael Krupp to address council regarding the tape of a morning session of city council.
Mr. Krupp, are you here?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
I think we should celebrate Black History Month 12 times a year. Money is a psychosocial construct based upon a non-existent number, zero, that diabolically opposes the flow and direction of our lives. A sort of invisible dam to humanity that sucks the life energy from the living so as to better feed and maintain the flames of war. We strangle rivers for hydroelectric powers. We strangle people for the power of empire and war. All of science is founded upon the sacred mathematics. 3,000 years ago, the men of the Gupta Empire proposed the zero. Bad idea. Ninth grade algebra teaches that the number one divided by this zero equals infinity. In simple terms, starting from zero, you cannot reach one. Yet we are taught that it is the same mathematical distance from zero to one as from one to two. Apparently, science is fiction. Zero, like so many rights denied our mother's children, is remedied by vote or some movement to reacquire that which was never in question until taken away and sold back or withheld. The terrestrial dam erected by the war god is Wall Street, through which human labor and natural resources are traded to best extract money, the imp that defiles. This must be undone. Tear down that wall, Mr. President. Tear down that Wall Street. A few brief facts. Human is spelled H-U-E-M-A-N to include all the beautiful colors of our people. In particular, black is the only optically pure color, while white is the result of a mix of all the colors. Apparently, it is the real mud race. Your mother is your creator. Our father will not interfere in her world. He can only love her, and we through her. It is we, the children, who must come to the aid of our mothers. Life today is the bar in Star Trek, the next episode with Picard. Warlike Klingons growling over chops and worms, while Venusians sing and eat flowers at the next table. Everyone eats, no fighting. Remember Monopoly, how it seemed that statistically the banker always won? We now leave the Luciferi that goes downstream to hell to the rape publicans and the Democrats. We are now the People's Peace Party of Portland, Oregon, P3PO, a sort of golden Trojan robot that will bring honesty to City Hall and beyond. It is from Portland that the new crusades will never get a chance to begin. We will elect a fire department official or an equally selfless individual, no history of politics, no second home, Cayman account, etc. These people spend every working hour concerned with the safety of the most vulnerable and needy. There are, in fact, three of the five seats in this council up for grabs. Any candidates will face a triumvirate of municipal officers who are in agreement on priorities. We have taken the city by vote. We need only fill out the paperwork and wait until November and watch over our treasury in the meantime. And as to the Joint Chiefs, the moneyed interests, the Heritage Foundation, Skull and Bone Society, I say this, Henry, stop kissing her. And as to the spiteful imp who magnifies
Mr.
its presence like
Mr.
the Wizard
Krupp,
of Oz.
Mr. Krupp, your time is up, but thank you, sir. We have okay. We have a 3-minute rule for everybody.
Hey,
thank you.
Time's up.
Thank you. So, we have a rule in the body. If you want to demonstrate or express your support or something, we ask that you use your hands and not applaud. We want everyone to feel welcome today. Next, would you please read Council Item 99?
Request of Mark Fitz to address Council regarding small business in Portland.
Mr. Fitz?
Thank you.
Welcome. We only need your name, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank the Council for this opportunity to address you. My name is Mark Fitz. I'm the president of Star Oil. My family started in business in 1936 here in Portland. Out in the far reaches of Portland, actually, at that time in the last Great Depression, in the near wilderness of 50th and Division. We started delivering wood, sawdust, and coal to houses to heat them. In the 40s, we moved to oil when we discovered we no longer had to shovel. And that was the big technological break then. Since that time, as a business, we've grown with the city. Much like you have, we've dealt with the downturns, and we've pursued progress. Some days it's tough right now, but I'd like to say that there's no other place I'd want to do business than Portland. And I want to give an example why of something I think that is very unique to Portland. I've seen a trend recently, a young, smart, hardworking people who, when they don't see job prospects, they basically print a business card, and they just go out looking for anything. They call themselves consultants. They call themselves whatever their little cool dot-com business is, and they just pursue something until they have customers. I think it's an offtake of Portland's programming and culinary and film and artist culture. It's extended into business. In fact, I'd even call it the Occupy the Economy movement of people who basically are just trying to find their own place and not expect someone to give them a job. So essentially, these are the imaginative people who are building the next wave of growth, the next story of Portland. And they are everywhere. It's surprising to see how many of them there they are. I'm sure you have them working in your offices now, as every other young guy or young woman has some side projects, some side business they're pursuing. So I just want to give a statistic. 3/4 of new jobs in Portland are small business and startups. Nearly all the growth for job creation in the United States of the last 3 years has come from startups and small business. These people, people just like them who are just trying to make something happen, that's where it is. So there's one thing the City Council can do, and I want to thank you for your support for small business currently and ask that you recommit to it. I ask that you continue to fund the strategic programs such as the Small Business Development Center, the storefront improvement grants that allow many of these small businesses to get a start and basically make a launch, and of course the microloans for many small businesses. The next chapter of Portland's innovative story is being written today by these startups, these young people. And I just want to thank you for your support and your time.
Mr. Fitz, thank you.
Thank you.
Carla, would you please read Council Item Number 100?
Request of Claudia Long to address Council regarding Right to Dream 2 Rest Area.
Please. Ms. Long, welcome.
Hello.
We just need your name. We just need your full name, and you have 3 minutes.
My full name is Claudine Long, also known as Mama Chewy. I'm here today because the City of Portland's Bureau of Development Services says Right to Dream 2 must comply with the State of Oregon recreational campground ordinances or pay monthly fines. The initial fine is $641.30 and doubles every 2 months after that. Well, I'm here to say we are not a campground, we are a rest area. Right to Dream 2 provides refuge and a safe space to rest or sleep undisturbed for dozens of people who are experiencing houselessness, not homelessness, in downtown Portland at no cost to the city. My question to you guys is, and you don't have to answer it, what would you do if you all of a sudden became homeless? You lost your job, you lost your house. Where would you go? You know, I speak for everyone that is houseless, and I say that you guys need to waive the fines because we are houseless. We don't have income. We don't have money to pay for these fines, you know. And I think that a woman in my position should be able to, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard right now. We're having really hardship right now dealing with this. And I would like to say waive the fines, you know? I mean, there's a lot of homeless people in Portland, Oregon, and we need to do something about that. We need to end homelessness. Thank you.
Long, thank you very much for your testimony. Carla, would you please read Council Communication Item Number 101?
Request of Kevin Nolan to address Council regarding Right to Dream 2.
Mr. Nolan, welcome.
Welcome. City Council members, my name is Kevin Nolan, and I'm a member of Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2. I want to talk about an action by the city that threatens the very survival of a thriving community. I am talking about the community found on the corner of Northwest 4th and Burnside. I'm talking about Right to Dream 2. Right to Dream 2 started out as our own experiment, a grassroots experiment, by leasing private land that had its own barriers to entry for commercial development. We utilized an otherwise vacant lot to provide something that traditional shelters do not provide, self-policing and emergent community of otherwise marginalized citizens, and all of this at no cost to the city. Instead of expensive police contact, expensive sidewalk cleanup, and expensive impact on local businesses, we have become good neighbors as we efficiently and diligently manage our minimal carbon footprint. There's a dreary chain of causality which criminalizes homelessness. It begins with the citation for camping. This generally leads to a failure to appear, the result of which is a warrant, followed by the inevitable arrest, conviction, and summary criminal record. This process is expensive for the city and profoundly expensive on the person who is just trying to find some shelter from the storm. How can we lift up a fellow human being from the lowest of the low of the hierarchy of needs when we have quite thoroughly reduced them to human litter? How can we simultaneously expect them to help themselves, to find work, to migrate towards stability, when we criminalize their God-given right to assert their right to survive? There is a similar chain of causality operating underneath the city's designation of Right to Dream 2 as a recreational campground. By enforcing this egregiously inappropriate label with excessive and punitive fines, the city has ensured our non-survival. We cannot comply and remain viable, nor can we afford to pay the fines as they exponentially increase every 2 months. With the stroke of a pen, the BDS has criminalized the homeless again, only this time under the guise of a fairly innocuous and fair-seeming code violation, only this time yet again, putting those with significant resources against those who have none. I'm almost done. I want to believe that in some private way, the members of the city council like the idea of Right to Dream 2. I want to believe that it's only the location that sticks in the craw of city planners and hungry developers eyeing a prime location for potential project profit. I want to believe that you want to do more than just keep it out of sight and out of mind, like Dignity Village. I want to believe that it's more than just words when Commissioner Fish said, even one person on the street is one too many. Well, Commissioner Fish, every night we keep over 70 of these persons off the street and give them something they cannot have on the street: security, safety, uninterrupted sleep, and shelter from the storm. Thank you very much.
We appreciate the enthusiasm of the room, but we do have a rule, and that it even applies to dogs. Carla, would you please call Council Item 102.
Request of Art Rios Sr. to address council regarding Right to Dream 2.
Rios, welcome.
Welcome. My name is Art Rios, and just for a moment, I'd like to have everybody stand for the homeless that are going to be out there that's not going to be able to have a safe place to sleep. Like I said, my name is Art Rios.
Could you take a seat, sir?
And that's the power of the people. I'm a Right to Survive organizer. I'm a Right to Survive advocate. But I'm also
If you could get a little closer to the mic so folks can hear in the back.
A Right to Dream 2 advocate. You must understand that we've sat here over and over, and you've heard from Mama Chewy and also Kevin Nolan. But you also got to understand that one of your own had also stated that, you know, we're doing a really, really good job. Thank you for that letter, Mr. Saltzman. But Right to Survive is a group of homeless and houseless and formerly houseless individuals dedicated to teaching about and defending the human, civil, and constitutional rights of people who experience homelessness. Right to Dream 2 provides refuge and a safe place to rest or sleep, undisturbed for Portland's unhoused community who cannot access affordable housing or shelter. Right to Dream 2 has established on World Homeless Action Day, October 10th, 2010. We've been here for 3 months, and I was here to present you, Mr. Saltzman, a check for $641. But since one of your gentlemen had taken it, we were going to go ahead and go outside and present it at our little nice little forum with more people that are here in support. But for me, I feel that as a supporter of Right to Dream 2, I'm actually going to give you a dollar. Because I think, you know, I'm just one person that's out there that's helping something that's very, very viable to the city. We have to, you know, erect something together, sit down once again at the table and say, hey, you know, we're houseless. You need to help us one way or another. The BDS has to help. You got to understand, you know, there's supporters like me that are helping and doing what we can do. So I'm going to give you a dollar to start that.
You could just give it to the clerk.
If you could give it to the clerk, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rios. That concludes council communications. You're welcome to join us this morning or not, but thank you all for being here. Andy, we're actually, as the acting mayor, I'm
this is your mess I inherited. Okay.
I cannot tell you how thankful I am.
Okay. Council, would please come to order. Carla, next up is the consent agenda. I understand that there are two matters that are to be pulled, that the mayor's office has requested that items number 109 and 1010 be pulled and referred back to the mayor's office. Are there any objections? Hearing none, they'll be pulled, and would you please, let's take the roll on the consent agenda.
Aye. Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye. Colleagues, the mayor has asked to be here. Obviously, the next item is a time certain, and so, all right. So let's move to the regular agenda, if we could, and let's tackle item number 114. And when the conclusion of that, if it's before 10:30, it's my intention to take a recess, come back for the 10:30 time certain, and then Commissioner Leonard, if it's okay, we'll take up the Water Bureau item as the last item. Okay, Carla, would you please read item council item number 114?
President, isn't that the time certain?
The time certain is 103.
Oh, sorry.
And I'm going to just move to the regular agenda.
Sorry.
Item 114, amend sections 5-113 and 5-1267, Chapter 5, Fire and Police Disability, Retirement, and Death Benefit Plan of the Charter of the City of Portland to correct clerical errors.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. President. This morning we are being asked to approve the correction of two Scrivener's errors in Chapter 5 of our city charter. And Nancy Hartline and Linda Jefferson of the Fire and Police Disability and Retirement System are here to provide more information and answer questions. We also have City Attorney Ken McGarrett in the audience if need be.
Good morning. I'm Linda Jefferson, the Director of the Bureau of Fire and Police Disability and Retirement. And to my right is Nancy Hartline, the FPR Financial Manager. And I'd like to ask Nancy to give you the background and explanation for our request this morning.
Good morning. I'm Nancy Hartline. From 1948 to 1989, these two what we are considering typographical errors in Chapter 5 of the Charter read as we are proposing that they be restored to with this ordinance. The first one substituted the word unless for the word less. And if you read that sentence, less unless doesn't make sense there. The word is clearly less. And in the full context, the paragraph before says less in that place. The paragraph after says less. The word is simply meant to be less. In the second one, section 5126, subsection 7, there's a reference made to a charter section that doesn't exist, 50-122. The correct reference is 5-122, titled Military Service, which is what that clause in the charter is referring to. These typographical errors appear to have come into the charter as part of the 1989 ballot measure that reorganized Chapter 5 in conjunction with creation of what is now called FPDR2. Section 2507 of the charter allows the city auditor to correct errors like this with council approval, so that's what we're here to request today.
Thank you. Just getting the sense from your memo and your testimony that these are more in the nature of Scrivener's errors, where you're seeking clarity but not changing the substance of the provisions?
There's no change to the meaning of the it corrects the meaning. I mean, for example, unless the amount of non-service-connected disability benefits doesn't really have any meaning. There's also no operational impact to correcting these.
Thank you. Council, questions?
This will move to a second reading, but
can I first see if there's anyone who wants to testify?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Right, excuse me. Commissioner Saltzman.
Well, since you probably won't be here next week when we vote on this, I just wanted to express my thanks both to Linda Jefferson and Nancy Hartline, who discovered these over 20-year-old errors in our charter. And so I just wanted to thank you for your constant due diligence. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. This matter goes to a second reading. At this point, we have about 25 minutes until the time certain. Mayor Adams has asked that he be allowed to participate. So without objection, we're going to recess until 10:30.
I didn't hear what you said about the items.